Hello everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2009. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. You can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. How's everybody doing today? Hope everyone is doing well, keeping warm. It's a little bit chilly. It's sunny and pretty here, but it feels like a fall day, which it is. And I know the Midwest and the midsection of the country is getting a lot of rain, lots of water. So I hope you're managing to keep dry and to stay warm as well. I also want to just send out a warm greeting to my friends out in Chicago. The annual conference of the African American Genealogical Society of Chicago is taking place this weekend, October 9th and 10th. It's underway today, and if you haven't had a chance to get there today, there's still tomorrow, and you will be able to participate at least and get one day of lectures under your belt. It's always a good time there. I've had the honor of speaking there in the past, and their conferences are really well done, and I really do hope that you will have a chance to attend if you're in the area. It's taking place at the Church of Latter-day Saints on South University Boulevard in Chicago. Some things are going on in the next week or two or three. There's some workshops coming up in California. I know that the Family History Expos, they really are a traveling expo, and they go all over the country giving workshops and events pertaining to genealogy and family history. Well, they're sponsoring next weekend the California Family History Expo at the Redding California Convention Center. That's on Auditorium Drive. It's an all-day event from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and registration is going to start as early as 7 a.m. So it's going to be a pretty full day, and hope that you will be able to attend that if your schedule is going to allow it. Also, coming up, there's an event tomorrow, the California Genealogical Society and Library sponsoring an event on blogging, which should be quite interesting. Those of you who have blogs, who subscribe to the blogs of others, you might recognize the name Thomas McEntee, as well as Craig Manson, who are going to be presenting some interesting sessions on blogging, how to use a blog, building a genealogy blog, and also legal issues for bloggers. And many people don't always think about that, but there are issues sometimes when you're putting up or sharing documents. Is there a copyright issue that may be there? Are there issues of privacy that should be considered when one is putting up genealogy blogs? So that might be interesting. I have some information and links for you on the podcast website as well. Next Saturday in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a panel on professional genealogy. It's going to take place in the afternoon at the National Archives facility. Claire Vitag, I'm not sure if I pronounced her name properly, Will White, and Marie Melchiori are going to be leading a panel discussion on issues related to professional genealogy. And I know that there are many people who are considering taking their research to another level. They're considering becoming professional genealogists. Well, this is an opportunity to listen to three professionals and what they have to say. They're going to be sharing their thoughts, and then they are going to open the floor for discussion and for questions. And some of the topics include the usual: lecturing, writing articles, editing, how do you balance the demands, and also carving out research niches. And I know that that's an area that many people have an interest in doing, really zeroing in and how do you determine what your niche is. Organizing your research, of course, and as many who want to take on individual clients, how do you expand your client base and marketing? How is that conducted? There will be other issues as well on certification and accreditation, and just a number of things. And if you're in the greater Washington area, if you've been considering taking your research up a notch to another level, this will be a great session for you. It's going to be next Saturday, October the 17th. On the 24th of October in Roswell, New Mexico, the Wilson Cobb History and Genealogy Research Library has a seminar that's going to unfold called Genealogy CSI, Collecting, Selecting, and Identifying Your Ancestors. J. Mark Lowe is the featured speaker, and he's going to be talking about a number of things, using the internet for genealogy, cemeteries as a genealogical resource, and finding ancestors who were not landowners, and a number of other topics as well. I've put information for you, as I usually do, on the podcast website. And of course, I cannot go without mentioning the major event coming up at the end of October in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Allen County Public Library, the Black Genealogy Summit, which is taking place. And this is going to be an interesting event. You've heard me talk about it before. They're expecting well over 400 people, perhaps more now, as time is getting a little bit closer. And I have information in terms of the speakers and the conference program, so take a look at that as well. And if you're within driving distance, again, might be something that's going to be worth your time to participate in. I have an update for you. Last week, I mentioned the situation of the Pansofsky Cemetery in Sumpter County, Florida. And that was the story about plans coming out of that county to relocate an historic burial ground so that the land would be freed for developers. Well, it appears that there has been a very good response from people from all over the country, as well as more recently in the last couple of days from the local community as well. Some of you out there nationally have responded by expressing your concerns with letters to the community newspaper as well as to county officials. And there is word now that the developers have reconsidered their plans to use the site. But that does not mean that the cemetery is safe. In fact, there's a strong interest still to disturb the remains and put them someplace else. And this is being discussed on the local level, coming from the county itself. I do know that a meeting has taken place with people in the community, and there's also an effort that's underway to locate more individuals who have ties to those who are interred there. I am putting some stories, some links to this story for you to follow up on and read. But there's an incredible lesson here for all to note, that the resting places of our ancestors are just as important as the archives and courthouses that document the presence of our ancestors in any given community. Now, many of us become aware of this issue that, you know, sort of stems from our own personal family research. And sometimes, even when we visit a community where our ancestors used to live, we come upon those long-forgotten burial grounds that are endangered, and some are just endangered because there's been no effort to preserve it. And some that was not intentional, but in many cases, there haven't been burials there in several decades. And sometimes it has been an effort of neglect, but in other cases, individuals have moved away, the descendants have moved away, and so people who are living there currently are not aware of the fact that this burial ground is in need of care. As genealogists, we often voice our concerns when libraries are threatened or repositories are threatened. Well, it's very important that we express our concerns when burial grounds are also threatened in the name of progress. In the case of this site, the Pansofsky Burial Ground, there has been no desecration yet, but it's being planned. And now that the developers have moved on, there's still the interest in disturbing these burials and removing them to another place. And we know that this is a very, very important issue. And many times, we as researchers must learn to take our research beyond just our immediate family to look at the communities where our ancestors were buried. And I guess it's kind of like looking for one tree and ignoring the rest of the forest. Well, we can't do that. It's something that many people are aware of, and I'm hoping more of us become aware, not just in relation to this story, but in relation to the burial grounds in so many of the communities that we research. Let us learn something from those who are already involved with cemetery preservation. Our friend Jack Robinson has responded from Onslow County. He doesn't live near the cemetery, and he knows the hard work that's involved in it, and he himself has voiced his concern. I'm pleased to see our friend George Jeter out of New Mexico has paid attention to this story and is voicing his concern also as a researcher and saying, hey, you know, we just can't sit and read the story and shrug it off. We need to also express our support. It's very, very, very important. This has been an interesting week genealogically. I personally have gotten some documents from a good researcher and a friend who was able to do a lookup for me, and I was able to get quite excited when I received recently an estate inventory from the slave owner of a line of my family, and was very surprised to see my great-grandfather's name on that document. I was not surprised to see his parents, but I thought he had already been separated from the family, and I see that he had not. So this has been really personally an exciting time. But also, I think genealogy in general has gotten a little bit of attention. Many of us have been following the story of the recent revelations of Michelle Obama's ancestry. And that's been an interesting story, primarily, I guess, for a couple of reasons. I have found as a researcher, it's been interesting to look at a certain degree of surprise that people have had upon seeing the documents that were found. But I see a different story. The data itself is not a surprise. The data itself is not shocking to myself as an African-American researcher or as an individual who has ancestors who were enslaved. When we get to that period in our research where we're no longer looking at census records, we're no longer looking at vital records, but we start to research the slavery era, then we know we're going to find documents such as that. So a lot of the revelations that have come forth are not a surprise to many of us who research ancestors who were enslaved. But there is a lesson to be learned. I watched one of the interviews today, and the author of the story coming from the New York Times was interviewed, and she had pointed out that yes, they had already finished the story several months ago, the story about the South Carolina plantation where Mrs. Obama's Robinson line came from. But the researcher who was involved, the primary genealogist, realized the story was not over just because the attention was removed from it. She kept digging for more things. We as genealogists know you never finish. Genealogy is a journey. It's not a destination. And once you arrive at it, it's over. And the father's line, the Robinson line, had been researched, but the mother also has a line. And we sometimes forget that each generation doubles. The number of direct ancestors double. And as we have the two parents, the four grandparents, the eight great-grandparents, and the 16 great-great, and on and on and on, it's clear that one does not finish the job just because one is able to reach a certain point and say, this individual came from this community. And the lesson is that the genealogist really realized there was an awful lot more to do. And the reporter was interesting because she came back to them months later and said essentially, I have some more information. Take a look at what I found. Now, what she did was not necessarily anything that was hard genealogically, but it was thorough. Obviously, the newspaper had to send their own team to verify what was done. But genealogy, if done in the right way, and if documented, and if the sources are cited in the right way, Others can follow your footsteps and find exactly what you found and can find perhaps other pieces of evidence to corroborate what you found. Well, apparently that's what happened. After the researcher presented information to the reporters at the New York Times, they then sent their own team to verify whether or not that information was accurate. And it's something that there's a lesson for all genealogists. There's always more to find. There's always more to do. But there's also the need to share. And you hear me say this all the time, to share what you find. And again, to do it the right way. And the story could have simply have been closed months ago when the first story came out. Oh yes, this ancestor of the First Lady was found to have come off this particular plantation, and that's the end of the story. But we know as genealogists that it's not. As much as we can get so thrilled when we find one line, I know that I was very excited to find the line of not just my, or this inventory reflecting my great-grandfather there and his parents and a generation beyond his parents as well. But that's not it. That's not the end of the story. And also there's the other story. My great-grandfather had a wife who was my great-great-grandmother. And that's another line coming from a totally different part of the country. The lessons are to understand that the story is never completely told. But there's also the motivation comes to really go after what is there. She did not find anything that was so obscure, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, that was so unfindable. It was, and she did find it. The lesson is there for us to keep doing what we do, but to start to utilize those other resources. And to remember, for every great-grandmother, there is a great-grandfather. And for every great-great-grandmother, there is a great-great-grandfather. And each of those new directions, those are new opportunities for us to pursue. That is what we do. We continue to look at all the possibilities. Every time you go back one generation, you've doubled the number of possibilities for you as a researcher to do as well, and you as a researcher to follow that trail. It's hard. It's certainly not something that's going to fall in your lap. The research certainly requires work, but it's not something that's an impossible task, and hopefully we'll all be encouraged to remember there is that other side of the family and that we must continue the journey. We must continue the process. Well, that's about it for me for today. I thank you again for listening to me. I also encourage you, as I always do, to keep doing what you do, to keep researching, keep documenting, and as we have learned, keep sharing what you find. Have a good week, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.